God, we welcome your Holy Spirit even more so. We know you're already in this place, you're already working, but we just open up our lives to you. We ask you to open our eyes and our ears to behold wonderful things from your word and from your law, that you would just speak to us your desires, your very heart, and help us to have that same heart, God, as we surrender to you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about stopping to smell the flowers. I'm someone that can sometimes struggle to do that. Does anyone else in this room struggle with that sometimes? That phrase is referring to not missing out on everything that is actually going on around you. Trying not to be so laser focused that you miss everything that you're sometimes even working hard for already. We can miss things by just missing the process. We can do this with work or with a side hustle. We can do this with a hobby. Whatever it is that takes too much of our time to where we miss out on the most important things. You know, my wife often helps me to be better at this, because her family likes to take things slow. And that is a blessing that they have. And that's something that I am working on. A good example of this is when I'm driving somewhere. I'm always in a race to get there. And that doesn't matter even when I'm on vacation or driving up the Alcan. Some of the most beautiful places in the world are on that drive. And my wife, being from Canada, has asked, you know, have you stopped here or here or here? And I say, no. But I've made that drive in like 2.5 days. I've driven 1,800 miles in one day. You know, my wife planned for us to make one of those stops. It was a hot springs in Canada, and it was gorgeous. Like, I mean, do you like hot springs? A hot tub or anything, they're really nice. And, you know, we stopped there, and I was amazed. I was amazed that when you stop places, you like places. But I had driven past it I don't know how many times. Another thought of that is I went to see the Grand Canyon with my dad once. We got out of the car, and we looked, and we drove away. It was a big canyon. But where I had a glance, I could have had an experience. And we can apply that to our life in a lot of areas, but specifically in the area that we grow and glean from. If we don't plan to grow and change, then we just don't plan to grow. We're only glancing at where we should be living in. And trying to get through where we're meant to remain, to stop and smell the flowers of life. We can sometimes create anxiety or worry, fear, by not accomplishing things as quickly and as precisely as we want to. When in reality, a lot of growth happens in that process. And sometimes we don't want to stop long enough for our roots to dig in and grow. And we can plan things out better for that. Or sometimes we want to take shortcuts to get through places that God intends us to remain. He wants to bring out of you things that you never imagined, to bless others by moving through you and in you. And it's these areas I want to look at this morning as we stop and smell the flowers in the Bible and in the process and in our life. I want to look first as we consider the lilies in Luke chapter 12. You're welcome to turn there with me. Luke chapter 12. And I apologize beforehand. I'm going to take a sip of water. I'm getting over sick, and please keep my wife and family in prayer. My daughter's sick now. I like to give her things, but not that. But Luke chapter 12, verses 27 through 34 says this. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I like the few verses prior to this passage because they explain some things as well. In fact, this passage is sandwiched between a parable of a foolish spender and a parable of a good servant or a good steward. And I think that speaks a lot to us this morning because on the one hand, we're trying to be wise and save up to be a blessing to our families and our friends and others in our church. And on the other hand, we're wanting to be in the will of God, to be good servants. And I'll tell you, church, being a good servant means sometimes things God wants you to do don't make sense. And to the world, those don't always work together. But that's what this passage is actually about, being a good servant, someone who pleases the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord this morning? When we're caught up in all the things that shouldn't matter as much, that's when worry, doubt, fear, anxiety all set in. That's when we start making mistakes, when we feel like we have to do everything on our own. And watch this, worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, it calls it a lack of faith. Those are just having a lack of faith, as much as pride is a lack of faith. It's us thinking that everything depends on us, as if the world moves by us moving it. It's the thought of, for a Christian, and I think we've all been there, of, I know God is there, but I don't think he wants to do anything. Or this is too small to ask him. Or another thought of, it doesn't matter what God wants, this is what I want, so I'm going to make it happen. And both of those cause worry, doubt, fear, anxiety. A good example of this is I get anxious when I'm going to be late for somewhere. Anyone else like that? I like to be early and I have to plan that way, but my wife does not struggle with that. She has a very free heart, no matter how late we are. But my faith in our family's ability to make it places on time is not good. I get a little anxious. My lack of faith causes me anxiety. Now, in that instance, my faith is in myself or in my family of small children to get places on time. And everyone knows that that just doesn't work sometimes. And that's okay. That's just small kids. But when it comes to our faith in God and him coming through, it's easy to forget that he has never failed. And he never will. We need to be okay with the things that we cannot change and fully trust God with what relies on him. fully trust him. In verse 25, it talks about who can add a cubit to their stature by worrying. And I've always kind of liked this passage, that little phrase, because as a young man, you could ask my parents, I was fearful that I was going to be short. There was a lot of prayer involved. I'm not saying that I got this high from that, but that was something that bothered me. And it was an irrational fear. I had let the fear of man's opinions make me worry about something that I could not change and that did not matter. How often do we let things in and people's opinions that should not matter? Now, I did not end up as tall as I wanted to be, and I blamed that on my mom. But my wife said that I was at the limit of height for her. She doesn't want me any taller. And you know what? God made me in the way he was going to use me. We can worry and fear about so many different things that do not matter. And that's why Jesus in this passage puts it into the right perspective. He says, look at the lilies. They were created perfect how they are. They stand out in the way that they were created to be. And watch this. They have what they need to grow without having to toil away at things they weren't intended for. What are you toiling away at that you are not intended for? It's saying that even the wealthiest and most powerful person on earth at this time was not arrayed in the beauty and splendor of a single flower. And we don't know which one of these flowers it was referring to. It could have been the purple flowers in this region that maybe compared to the robes of Solomon. We don't know. It could have been one of the white lilies in this region that were rare and beautiful. But either way, it's saying that if God put so much meticulous time and lavish care for a few flowers, then certainly doesn't he love you more than that? For every need you have, he knows. He clothes the fields with such beauty that is here today and gone tomorrow, gone the next moment or the next season. He loves and cares for you so much more than that. Therefore, there is no reason not to trust God, that he has what is best in store and in mind for you. That word worry means to be in suspense over, to be up in the air. You ever feel that way? Things are up in the air because you honestly don't know how they're going to land. I think we're all there at different times, but especially when things just seem or feel out of control. Do you know that there is a God who is sovereign over all? In verse 30, it begins to tell us why. These other things that we seek after, that seek to take our attention, are what the rest of the world craves for, and they go after. It's what they're concerned most by. Church, what concerns you most today? Because we are the opposite of the world. Unlike them, they don't have a relationship with a loving heavenly Father. The knowledge of this allows us to be secure in our ability to focus on God's kingdom rather than the world's or our own. And we can trust that God will build his kingdom. And we're a part of that. To focus on the kingdom is to focus on what has eternal value instead of just material. It's why it says if you seek after the kingdom, that seeks after the Lord and his will, you'll be taken care of in every other way. And church, that is a promise that God has never reneged on. He has never failed in. If you seek after God and seek after his will, everything else will fall into place. You will be taken care of. And that doesn't mean we don't need to plan well and do our best. But just like with my desire to be places on time and even early, I have to plan and get things ready. And sometimes that still just does not happen. Sometimes there is an explosive diaper that you just got to take care of. And isn't that life? Sometimes things explode and you just got to take care of them. But maybe in that moment, we don't know, but maybe God is saving me from some car accident, or he wants me to meet someone that I would not have met. We just do our best and then put everything else in God's hands. Verse 32 says, "Do not fear." It commands us to not fear the future or anything else. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. It calls us little flock because I believe God wants us to know that we are outnumbered. He knows that we are. In his eyes, in our eyes, in the enemy's eyes, we're not big enough. He calls that out and says, still, do not fear. Do not worry. Do not. Look at this. What pleases the Father is to give you the kingdom. When you seek after the things of God, it pleases God to make sure you get them. To make sure you get all the promises of the kingdom of God. That word give means to press it into your hand. Take it. If you don't grasp it, then that's completely on you. It's in your hand. Take it. It's pressed into it. This is yours. The promises, the keys, the access to the kingdom of God. And where it says, sell what you have and give alms. It's not saying to make yourself destitute. But it's saying that all that you have, your possessions, are used for God's purposes. Or they should be. So you can bless people and help others, yes, but also to get rid of things that encumber you, that distract you, that prevent you from doing God's will. I've shared this story before, but I used to have a really nice car in college that I would wash and wax and would not let anyone ride with me. It had two seats, so no one ever asked me because they couldn't ride. There's more than one person. Well, we'll have to take your car. Save me a lot of fuel. But you know what? It prevented me from doing and helping people. I had some pride in that vehicle as well. It didn't allow me to reach my full potential for the kingdom of God. And this is talking about our full and total potential and dependence on God to reach your full potential. Sometimes you have to let some things go if you're holding on too tight. It pleases me to know that everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. Nothing can be before God because if I can't use it for God, it's useless to me. Then it mentions our treasure, where you put your time, your money, your attention, your focus is where your treasure is. And when you find your treasure, there is your heart. Make sure your heart is wrapped up in things that matter. That matter. Remember that if God takes such care of the flowers, then he will do that same for you and your family so you can release some of that grip that you might have on things. seek after the kingdom, and remove worry, fear, anxiety, doubt from your life. You have a great Father that loves you enough to make sure you have what you need when you need it. And we do this by making the choice to remove things from our lives, but then also allowing God to make us grow. It's number two, God causes growth. If you're not growing, you might not be close to God. God causes growth, but we have to stop long enough to accept that growth and see the flowers that he's trying to bloom inside of our lives. Hosea chapter 14. You're welcome to turn there. Hosea chapter 14, verses 4 through 9. Hosea 14, 4 through 9. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, "What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." The first thing I want to look at in that short passage is that Israel had been relying on anything and anyone else other than God. And when we do that, God calls that backsliding. That's a place that I feel like sometimes we don't want to admit that it's easy to slip into. Trying to do anything to get out of the place that we've gotten ourselves into, or trying to rely solely on what we can accomplish on our own, even if it's something that God doesn't want for us. Or watch this, even when it is something that God wants for us, but we do it on our own strength, it is against God. Sometimes we fight so much and cause ourselves stress, worries, anxieties, and fear. But watch this. We're often fighting against the fact that God wants to take our worries, stress, and fears. The only strength you have to have is enough to give him those. And I know that is hard sometimes because that takes faith. But he wants to take those things. A good example of this is my dad got back in on Friday. And he comes into my office. I guess he got back in on Thursday. He came into my office on Friday. And he knows all the things coming up, our vision meeting later today and all the stuff the church needs to accomplish. First thing he asks is, "How can I help? What can I do?" The heart of a loving father is to take the burden off of a child. And the age of that child never changes. It does not matter how old you get. When my grandmother, who's sitting right here, hears something that about my parents are working through, the first thing she does is asks, "How can she help?" And then she meddles a little bit. In love. But God is the most loving parent we can ever imagine. And you know what breaks a parent's heart? Is when we want to take a burden on ourselves and not allow them to help. It pleases God to help you and to give you the kingdom. With that thought, sometimes God gives us what we ask for and we don't want to receive it. He wants to give us the kingdom. We pray for desperation. We pray for a move of God. But are we willing to receive those things? It's important to point out here that this is what God wants to do. But in the moment, Israel refused to do it. We can refuse to let God work in our lives. Now, he's always working. He's always moving things around, working on us. But we can refuse to grow and learn. And sometimes, watch this, we can't get out of the same cycle because we just refuse to get out of the same cycle. My son is a bit of a stubborn thing. If you've seen him, or you've probably heard him screaming in this room. But he will be crying because he gets stuck somewhere, and then he'll be mad at me when I try to pick him up and get him out of it. And isn't that a picture of us sometimes? Let's not be too stubborn to let God work, to accept what God wants to do. He sees a bigger picture than we can. In verse 4, God wants Israel to know, and we can apply this to us, that he desires to bring us back from wherever we have been. It does not matter where you have been. He wants to bring you to himself. And he will forgive us and love us freely, it says. That word freely means abundant, plentiful, voluntary, and free. And watch this, it also means spontaneous, which I like, because how many wives here like their husbands to be spontaneous? As in, I bought you this coffee because I love you. Or I bought you this two-person vacation because I was thinking of you. Or I cleaned the entire house because you're just so amazing, dear. Do you like spontaneous love? I think that's some of the idea here of how God loves us, and then we need to understand that. Don't forget that his love is as spontaneous as it is faithful and consistent. Sometimes he just wants you to know that he is thinking of you. And sometimes he will just say little things while you're reading his word or speak to you through his Holy Spirit. But church, you have to be listening. Watch this. In verse 5, the Lord says he will be like the dew to Israel, which we need to know because it is the dew in this case that causes this flower to bloom and the rain that destroys it. You were created for one thing to make you bloom into your full potential, and that is the Lord. And we can try to fill our lives with all sorts of things that we think are going to help us grow, but it will be like the rain to you. It will destroy you when you were created for the dew. The hand and the will of the Lord knows exactly what you need. The first thing mentioned here is that you will grow like the lily. Its beauty and symbol of purity is cultivated by the Lord himself. You are cultivated by the Lord himself. The Lord's plans for you are beautiful, and they're to purify you, to bring you back to the place of purity before him. But it doesn't stop there. It says to lengthen your roots like the trees, to spread out your branches. Church, dig in and spread out to the word and presence of God and into the kingdom of God. And watch this, to where you are planted. I like to tell people to be where you are. Don't plan on leaving until God tells you to do. Or at least don't tell people that. You lose influence. For however long you are here or there, wherever you are, that is where God has you. Love it. Find the reason why you are there and be part of it, because it's your growth. And watch this, be thankful that God is growing you, even if it's hard. Then it says, your beauty will be like the olive tree. And olive trees are pretty, but in my opinion, they're not much prettier than a bunch of other trees. Why would it say this? But in its beauty, it represents several things. It was fruitful. It provided food. It provided oil. It was a symbol of peace and a provision, shade and shelter. These trees were known for their resilience to harsh conditions. The oldest one known right now is about 2,000 years old. This is the type of person you want to be. This is the type of person God wants you to be. That you are resilient through all seasons. That you provide shade and shelter and food and oil. Verse 7, the symbolism here of being revived like grain is so key because grain has to die and then is brought to life and fruit. It's saying that you will be fruitful again, and maybe that area of death in your life, God can bring back to life. And I love this part. It's even the scent of your fruitfulness will be known all around you. What that means is that you will smell like blessing. Do you want to smell like blessing this morning? I receive that from the Word of God. Verse 8, this is what happens, all of this, when you remove the idols in your life that stop you from growing. What have you allowed in your life that is keeping you from growth? This verse is saying that Ephraim has made the decision to remove idols from their life, from their tribe. And their full love and attention will be on the Lord. That is where growth stems from. The Lord. The Lord is literally saying here that the fruit of your life is found only in Him. He is the only way for your life to be fruitful with eternal value. Verse 9, it says, if you are wise and understanding, we will know that the ways of the Lord are right. To know that, and it's not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. What does that mean? That it's not something that we just talk about or recite, but it's something that we live out. We have a choice to grow in the things of God. We take all the things out that impede our lives, that cause worry, fear, doubt, anxiety, making sure our treasure is truly in the Lord, and He will bring fruit out of your life like never before. Do you want to be fruitful, church? Seek after the kingdom of God. We're going to quickly look at one more passage to explain that we need to let God grow us in the ways that He chooses. We have to take time to stop and smell the flowers in that sense that we have to realize we have to choose what He wants. To choose what He wants. And we're going to look at that. We're going to do that by looking at a passage on fasting. Because no one likes it. And because the Bible says to do it. Number 3, the Lord cultivates. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. The Lord cultivates. Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 through 14. This is the good part of this chapter. So the part you'll like. Says this, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from the midst, the pointing of the finger and spreading wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. There is so much in this passage, it could be a message on its own. But at this moment, Israel was doing things that they thought would make the Lord respond instead of doing it with the right heart. God will put you into situations that will help you grow, but how you respond to that in your heart is what really matters. It's easy to get into a rhythm of going through the motions, going to church, going to work, going home, without your heart being involved in any of them. And it's easy to try and do what we think is right, when that's sometimes not even what the Lord asked for, or at least why he asked for it. The Lord asked Israel to fast in order to bring about these incredible things, breakthrough, blessing, restoration. It says you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And that sounds like a win to me. To not just have blessing flowing into my life, but let it flow out of my life to everything and everyone around me. That's what God wants for us in this passage. And I know that that is what we want as people. But Israel had been trying to go about it in their own way. They had lost the freshness of their relationship with God. They had exchanged it for rules, laws, and laziness. Because it's easier to have a list of chores to do than to be in continual relationship with someone. And that's really what all of these passages this morning are getting back to. When we lose sight of our heart being after God more than anything, it's out of a fresh relationship for and with God that we can give him our worries, doubts, fears, and anxieties, knowing that he will provide because of the deep love that we know. And it's out of a fresh relationship with God that we're going to come back to him every time and allow ourselves to be grown into the people of God that are truly fruitful in this life. And it's out of a fresh relationship with God that we're going to see the breakthrough, the healing, and the being set free that we pray for. Because God wants that. It's part of the kingdom, and he wants to give us the kingdom. To be like a well-watered garden, blessing everyone around us. Not just our family, not just our church, but to our city and to our valley and to everywhere that water could possibly go. But in order for that to happen, we have to stop and smell the flowers. We have to stop and give God time to work and us time to listen, to make sure we're in God's will, and watch this, to make sure that we love God. We can get into so many cycles that are repetitive. We can live like a Christian without loving God. And that is the opposite of what God wants. He wants to love you and for you to love him. The same way that a parent wants a child to love them, and they want to love that child. So it doesn't matter how far that child goes, and even if that child rejects the parent will always love. But we're meant to come in a fresh relationship with God. And as the worship team and prayer team come, I'm going to ask us if we can stand across this place this morning, if you're able to. And the altar call is very simple. First, if you need to know Jesus or rededicate your life to him, for him to change your life, I'm going to ask you to come. And second, if you need a fresh outpouring of the Lord this morning, if you need to come back to that place where he is your first love, where you're not doing everything out of the repetition that you know, then come. He is your treasure. Or come if you need to set aside your worries, doubts, and fears, or any other idol that has come between you and the joy of the Lord, the freshness of him moving. Come like it's the first time. And this morning, if you find yourself wanting just a fresh love in your life, you just want to fall in love with Jesus all over again, then let's do that. Soil is dirty and messy like life. But out of it, God will grow the most beautiful and fruitful things as we commit to growing together. Stopping to smell the flowers is your time to rekindle your love for God. Come if you need to this morning. And if you have any other need, healing, anything, provision, anything at all, come.